Let me set the record straight for a minute. Hate, I get it, say it with him. I don't give a f- I'm cool with it. Play a peep the fans with him.
Yeah. It's that time again. Time to cuddle up by the old Twitter machine. Pour yourself a nice cold beverage because it's about to heat up. It's time for the Hot Stove, the best Twitter space in the Canadian Premier League, brought to you by the Capital City Supporters Group. Tonight, we'll look back on last Friday's 1-0 win over Pacific FC, and we'll look ahead to a match that's not short on things to talk about as Atletico Ottawa takes on Forge FC for the first time this season. My name is Josh Lemoyne, and I'll be your host tonight. And I'm joined by fellow CCSG member, Isaac. Isaac, great to have you joining me tonight. How are you?
I'm doing good, you know, watching Forge do something that I did not want to happen at the moment. Ready to get in and dive deep into this one.
So absolutely. I think we'll be going back and forth between that Forge and CF Montreal score.
Oh, yeah, of course. And obviously some quick housekeeping before we get into this. If this is your first Hot Stove, here's a quick breakdown of how the show works. We have turned this into a proper radio show where each week we have two hosts to discuss questions about this week's upcoming match before turning to the audience for their thoughts, opinions, and hot takes. Instead of calling in through, if you'd like to talk, it's classroom rules here. Just raise your hand, hit the request to talk button in order to join in on the conversation. We also ask that participants raise their hands when they have something to add on a given topic in order to ensure we hear from everyone and that we don't put folks on the spot just too much.
Fantastic. And for 2024, the Hot Stove will be live every Wednesday at 8 p.m. with special exception for Can Champ Games, which we will host on Tuesday nights to preview any future matchups, which will be the case next week before the second leg of our matchup with Pacific FC again. For any other updates, be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Capital City SG.
And if you happen to miss the Hot Stove, have no fear because we are now going to be posting the Hot Stoves as a podcast on your favorite platforms, Apple, Spotify, Google, you name it, it's there. Tuesday mornings, make sure to listen to the recorded Hot Stove from the night before. Now, before we get into the show, we have a few announcements to make. Become a CCSG member today. $20 gets you access to our members-only Discord, first access to road trips, exclusive merch, and more. And if you're a student, you get a $5 discount, bringing that down to $15. If you are already a member, make sure to regularly check our members-only page on our website and to check the announcements channel on our Discord for the latest.
And while you're on the website, be sure to check out the latest from our writers team. We have the Forward Press, which summarizes all pre- and post-game pressers. We've got the match day in review for those days you want to relive or that you missed. And of course, the return of our weekly player rating, so you can see how each player did on the day.
And the writers aren't the only ones cooking up content, as our social media team has been working hard as they've been putting together full-time, who have new episodes every Thursday following a whole game to share. Reactions from our fans after every match. ATO After the Whistle is their weekly podcast, breaking down the game each week for you, answering your questions. The sixth episode of the regular season dropped this morning, covering the Pacific game, and hosts Johnny MacArthur and Joey Huno are both delivering top analysis each week.
That's right. Joey, you know, if you know, you know. And finally, the Glebe Central Pub is CCSG's home pub for the 2024 season. You can join us there all season long for pregame, postgame, and at our watch parties, where there will be pregame fun and always great conversations. There's great food, great friends, impeccable vibes. That's the Glebe Central Pub, 779 Bank Street in, you guessed it, the Glebe.
Another reminder to that, if you would like to speak today, please hit the request to speak button and join in on all the fun and raise your hand if there's a topic that we are tackling that you'd like to chime in on.
Well, Isaac, if you're ready, let's get into it. Isaac, we're coming off kind of a weird one this past weekend where Pacific had players dropping early and often in, if I'm not mistaken, they were all non-contact injuries, just I don't know if it's the pitch or what, having to use all three substitution windows before halftime. Ruben Del Campo scored in the 33rd minute for the game's only goal, earning Ottawa all 3 points. Del Campo's goal was the first Pacific has allowed in the league all season. What were your thoughts on the match? Like, do you think we earned those 3 points?
Well, for starters, I'm just thankful we did take those 3 points. Another big thing, breaking Pacific's little streak there. I knew we could do it. With all that being said, I'd say we did deserve that at the end. I don't know. That could be just coming from a bias, but there were some incredibly close calls that definitely kept me on the edge of my seat. But at the end of the day, we did what we needed to do, took all 3 points. Now we just got to regroup and be ready for Forge on the weekend.
Yeah, I agree. It was, I thought it was a very mature road game. I think, initially seeing these Pacific players drop like flies, I think a lot of fans might have expected maybe a few more goals on our end. But Pacific's got a strong identity and, they're well organized defensively and they kind of play that low block that we got used to seeing from Atletico, for the last 2 years. We only needed one and we got it done. We got a few people who've requested to speak. I don't know if, Billy or Bryce, you got anything to, say about last week's match?
Well, sure. I mean, I expected a little bit more, especially with everybody else salivating like I was, knowing that, a keeper injury in that second half would have meant having to take an infield player and put him in net because you didn't have any more subs left. So I think there was a lot of excitement that was kind of left there that could have been better. And I don't think we fully took advantage of that situation. I don't think we maybe didn't run as hard as we could have. We weren't forced to use our subs any earlier than we could have. We could have maybe played one of our U21 players who has a lot of spark a little early and got more than 1 minute for him playing. I think there's a lot of things we could have done differently, but I think we were concentrating on making sure we did get the 3 points. And I can't fault the coaches for that this early in the season. I'm sure we're behind the eight ball now when it comes to getting those U21 minutes, but we got the 3 points, and on a trip out there, getting 4 of the 6 possible points on your first road trip west, that's not bad. That's a good thing. I mean, any of us would have said, yeah, that's great, and probably would have expected a win in Vancouver and in a draw at Pacific, but coming the other way, it's still the points we want. It's still putting us on a roll. We're still undefeated on the season, so let's just keep that ball rolling this weekend.
Jubes, you have your hand up. What's on your mind?
I had the privilege of being at the game in Victoria last weekend, so I think there's a lot that I have to say on it, but I won't say all of it right now. I think that, first off, I hope that the injuries to their players aren't too serious. I know there's a lot said about Pacific's pitch, but most of it's about the TV angles and the reflection. But I hope they're doing well. I hope it's not long-term, because I'd like to see Pacific do well this season and challenge us. Because right now, what we need is a challenge. So I was very excited to see what the team did. I mean, obviously, 1-0 is a great result because the team hasn't conceded all season. Emil Gazdov still looked great. And Ruben Del Campo had a lot more chances than he probably could have capitalized on a couple more. And same with some of the other players that we've kind of talked about all season. Oli Bassett, Balu Tabla, that we want a little bit more. But no, I think it's a great result, 1-0 against a top team, a team that's really solid defensively. And I know Ruben Del Campo was happy to score two games in a row. And I mean, he's doing really well. So it's great to see.
Great points. We got Harry. Harry, we're going to put you on.
Yeah, while you figure that out, I'll just jump in and say this game was awesome because that was a cracker of a goal by Ruben. The game against Vancouver, was kind of sloppy with that ball going in and kind of just bouncing in off somebody else. But that goal against Pacific, you could tell that young kid is really coming into his own, because he just took that from the outside of the box with a strong left foot, put it across goal, post in. That was amazing to see. I can't wait to see more of those.
Great point. He is oozing confidence at the moment, scoring with both feet. The power that he put behind that shot, it was just, you can feel his confidence right now. It's just coming out of everywhere. Harry, what's on your mind?
Okay, so I'm just proud of the team. I think a lot was made
at the start of the season that we'd be a project that wouldn't really take hold for about 8 to 9 games. But you can see the cohesion in the team. Going away to a team that has not conceded a goal is extremely hard. And then we walked out of that place. Yeah, you know, you can argue that Pacific, you know, their mentality was shot because they took those first few injuries. But to be honest, the players that came on for them did a job. And I think Pacific probably felt that they deserved a tie from that match. But the only result that really mattered is the one that we got, and that's 3 points. And going into the game this weekend, we're trending in the right direction. It looks right now that Forge are probably going to be the guys that go through to the semi-final, unless something happens insane in the second half. They're probably going to take a lot of confidence from that. But, you know, we should absolutely be taking confidence from the way that we've played over the last few games. Yeah, go out late.
Great point. Yeah, I mean, we're, I think a lot of us on this hot stove right now have the Forge Montreal game in the background. So why don't we kind of change our focus now, since we've spoken a little bit about Pacific. Really, our focus needs to be on the game this week, so this Saturday. First, real quick note, if you are going to the game, please, for this game especially, plan ahead. May 25th is the busiest weekend of the year in Ottawa. Not only is it the Ottawa race weekend, so there's road closures all weekend in and around downtown. It's also going to be the Great League Garage Sales, which, for those listening who, you know, if you're not from Ottawa or haven't been, absolutely shuts down the entire neighborhood that TD Place is in. I'm going to be bicycling there, because if I drive or take the bus that day, I might have to leave the night before and just camp out. As for the game, though, Ottletty's taking on Forge in their first meeting of the season. They're coming off, before their current match with CF Montreal, they were coming off a 2-1 loss to Vancouver FC last Saturday. And Saturday will be their third game in 8 days. Isaac, what are you expecting from this match on Saturday?
Well, obviously, I'm expecting a good game all around. Especially with Forge, if they can keep up this momentum like they are right now against Montreal, I think we're in for a phenomenal game just from the neutral standpoint, especially with our momentum colliding with theirs. But I will say this, I'm expecting a good result. With that being, we're coming off momentum of kind of like what Harry said, going into Pacific away, having conceded. We break that streak, come home with all 3 points, regroup, go in there, and keep her going, because Ruben Del Campo doesn't look like he's stopping anytime soon. However, there's a few guys on that Forge side that like to beat up on Ottawa for fun. So I'll leave it at that, expecting a good result, and finally got some good weather. Looks like the crowd's going to be pretty good too.
Yeah, I just heard that looks like they're going to be opening up the north side stands a little bit. So it's great to see it after some bad weather kind of, you know, kept the crowds a little bit on the lower end for the first few games. But Ottawa, I think it's important to note, our all-time record, not great against Forge. It's 2 wins, 4 draws, and 9 losses all-time. We've scored 9 goals. They've scored 30. And they've never conceded a goal to us at TD Place. Forge has been the standard bearer for quality as long as the CPL has existed. And obviously, you know, Ottletty made big moves in the offseason to change that conversation and, you know, try and set a new bar for the rest of the league. But to do that, you need to start racking up wins against the best team, Forge more so than anyone. Do you think this game presents, you know, the most pressure the team has faced so far this season to get a good result?
This season, yes. We've shown we can play with Cavalry. We've shown we can play with Pacific. And if we can show that we could play with Forge and get a good result, I think that's when we can stop being delusional in what we're saying, and what we're saying will actually be the truth. Because if we do this thing against Forge, then the rest of the league needs to shut up.
And that's what I want us just to shut up the rest of the league. That's people like come up to me and ask me, he's like, oh, you really think you're going to beat Forge? I'm like, I don't know. We'll see. But with that being said, I think more than ever, I think this is when we have a kind of a statement game here and beat Forge on our own turf. But in terms of the game itself, I'm expecting goals from both sides. So I feel like it's just going to come down to a matter of fact of defensive errors.
If Ottawa doesn't win this game, does this does that change your outlook for Ottawa's season as a whole? If we don't beat the best team, in our first match, does that kind of like damper your hopes for the season?
No, it won't. Football is just one of those things where it's just unpredictable. And we could go in this Saturday thinking one thing and a complete other thing will happen. So if they lose, it won't diminish my hopes at all. But if they lose, it would depend the way they lose. But even with a draw, I'm satisfied. I mean, it's Forge. Like, can't complain when you get a result on them.
I mean, that always feels good. And we'd, with only two wins so far, I think we'd all like to get a bit more, get a few more dubs against them. We'll have to see how Forge's injury list looks come Saturday. And I haven't seen exactly who is lining up for Forge today, but on Saturday, they were missing Jordan Hamilton and Taron Campbell. So if they're not ready to go, those are some big holes to fill. And it presented an opportunity, though, for West Ottawa soccer alum and Carlton Raven, Amadou Kone, who got his first professional start for Forge on Saturday. Isaac, if Campbell and Hamilton aren't ready to go on Saturday, do you see Kone starting again? And who else does Hamilton have available at the moment who you think could be a threat?
I'd start Kone again. I don't know if it's just me being from his kind of his home suburb here in Ottawa. He's been impressive with the minutes he's gotten. Like, I've watched him play, probably because one of my good friends went to high school with him. But in terms of that, he's looked good when he's gotten his opportunities. And he's only going to get better. He's only 19 years old, so he's obviously a big contributor to those U21 minutes for Forge. And obviously it'd be such a good moment for him having a bunch of support in that crowd on Saturday in terms of family and friends. Says some old high school buddies, shout out Paul Desmarais. In terms of threats for Forge, I'm looking at two players in particular. First off, Tristan Borges. This dude has started his season playing what some argue might be his best football since the Canadian Premier League's inception. He's currently leading the league in assists right now, so he's definitely creating those chances. And another player I'm looking out for is a guy that seems to haunt us every time at TD plays. Vivid memories of 2022. It's David Chouinard. I don't know what it is about this guy, but every time this guy steps on the field at TD plays, it just seems he scores. So, I mean, I don't know if it's just my bad luck at games sometimes or this dude just really has some beef with Ottawa because this guy shows up every time and makes something happen.
Absolutely. I think one player in Ottawa I think needs to have a really good game is Blue Tabla. I know people giving him a really hard time so far this season, not producing to the extent that we would like him to, but I really don't think he's had that bad a season. So so far his work rate has been fantastic. I think he's just a little bit out of sync with where he needs to be. Like there's been so many chances that he's had so far where I should be like, if he was 3 feet to the right or 3 feet to the left, he would have had such a better look at the at the goal. I think he's not putting himself in a good position to finish well, but he's close. And if we can get him going, boy, if we can get Tabla and Del Campo going at the same time, holy moly. It really could make us unstoppable. Like, I don't know what you think.
For sure. For sure. And also, not to mention, back in 2022, when we really saw Ballou ball out, we didn't have nearly as much firepower as we do now. In 2022, we were more built as of, again, like that low block, cargo, terrorist football that relied on the counter. Now we have a team with multiple options. And like you said, he's just a little bit off. And like you said, once he gets going, if he can get going with the way Del Campo is going, look out.
All right, we got a few hands up here. Start with you. What you got in your mind?
Sorry, I didn't hear you say. Did you see me?
I did, yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to say, I'm not sure what you guys are all worried about, because last year we were pretty bad. And the last time we beat Forge, we beat them. Okay. So I don't know what all this talk about Forge being so good is. Sure, they're up 2-0 on CF Montreal at a half. But I think we can definitely beat them. And I will note that Iliadis, who was the only person that scored the last time we played them at Tim Hortons Field to end last season, he scored in that game and he got the start today. And I hope he plays a lot better in the second half.
Oh, that's a good point. I mean, for me, I think it's not worry so much as just expectations and just a real desire to you know, make a statement. You know, with all their signings, it's hard not to get your expectations up, and it would just be so nice to just give it to Forge. Craig in Ottawa, you're up next.
Just wanted to cap on the Ballou situation there, just because. Again, the entire team's just assembled such a great group of players. I feel he's trying to stand out a little bit more than he actually needs to. He's taken a few shots that they're frankly ridiculous angles. Like, he's trying for a spectacular goal instead of an easy cutback. But I can't really blame him for trying to get off the mark. But, and it's just tries to go back to the players trying to stand out, trying to make a difference, trying to add to the team. Whereas, I don't know, there's so many good playmakers that we've got right now. But just to get back to Forge as well, is they've sort of been the gold standard of this league. Like, they've always sort of, like, they've won 4 out of 5 years. It's sort of, we're always measuring against themselves. If we can take home a good result now, especially after, if they can keep this going against Montreal, like, they're coming off a high, let's send them back down to earth and keep our, like, season going.
Love it. Billy, you're up.
Thanks. I just want to start out by saying happy birthday to Matteo DeBrien. Today's his champagne birthday. And I'm very excited for this Saturday's match, because it's going to be a great birthday present for me, because that's my birthday. And I'm going to be on the megaphone. So I'm excited to see everyone come to the dub and be really loud and back us against Forge, who's one of our biggest rivals. Honestly, so far in the season, we can't have too many complaints. Any complaints we have is just being nitpicky. We've had a great team. We've assembled an amazing team. It's about getting all those pieces together. I think everyone's been right about that. It's about how we're figuring out how this team's going to kind of assemble correctly and build that chemistry. I think we've seen progress with it. We've had a very tough schedule. We've had to go across coast to coast of the country already. Forge have a midweek game, whereas we have some rest. So I think that can be in our advantage. I think it's going to be tight and cagey, just like our match against Pacific. I think Cavalry have a really great squad this season too. I think those are the three best teams in the league, is Cavalry, us, and Pacific. Watch out for Ollie. He usually is our guy to get it done against Forge with those set pieces. I think it's going to be a close draw or we're just going to squeak by. I think I'd be happy with either result.
Either way, it's going to be a good day with Birthday Billy on the mic. Harry, you're up.
Yeah, I'm probably a little bit, not that I'm not optimistic. I think this is where I am at the moment. I think we are going to compete against Forge every single game we play against them. And that is probably the difference to previous iterations of our team. So you look at the 2022 team that went away, got the result at Forge. It was extremely defensive. Low block football, nick a goal, 1-0. And rightly so at the time, we celebrated that result because it was a progress marker in where that team was. Last year, arguably, especially when we played them at home, we played a lot better football, but you know, we just weren't the team to get the result against them. I think the difference now is every single time we play Forge this year, whether it's home or away, they're absolutely going to have a game. I don't see a situation where people like Manny Aparicio, Tabla, Twardek, Debrien, all of these players are going to step off them. We may not get the result on Saturday. That's not me being a pessimist. That's just football. You win, you lose, you draw. But the beautiful thing about this team at the moment is you're going to see exciting football. And when you're going to see exciting football, sometimes you can walk away with that and be like, okay, we got the result today. We didn't get to the result today, but I'm definitely going to come back next week. That's where I am with this team at the moment. All of the players are doing themselves just this. One final thing on Tabla. He's going to come good. It's the same 2020. He took his time. And then when he started to produce, he kept on producing. So not worried about anyone. Maybe a bit of the balance of the team, I think, is a bit off with Sissoko. But nah, again, nitpicking. It's all good.
That's a really good point. And I think, in terms of the change in style of play, like we're not playing that low block anymore. I think it's worth giving some credit to Coach Cargo. I've never been the biggest Cargo fan, but I think he needs some credit because, you know, I think a lot of people, you wonder, like, can you play, you know, can you have your players just play a different style? Can you coach them differently? And with a different profile of player in his lineup, he's shown he's adaptable. He can coach in different ways. I think he needs some credit for that. Jubes, you're up.
I honestly forgot the question that was asked, but I'm going to kind of ramble on some of the points that were made earlier. So I won't hopefully go on too long. Billy, happy early birthday. Happy birthday to Matteo Debrien. I want to give a special shout out to him because there was a small contingent of away fans. There was me and my folks representing the CCSG, and there was Ben from the Bytown Boys at the last Pacific game. So Matteo spotted us. He brought the team over at the end of the game, and I want to give special recognition to him for that, for spotting us. And then Amadou Kone. I'm not sure he should start. You guys have mentioned the Forge game, and if you saw that finish, I think he's definitely the player that should start, and he's definitely a worrisome threat because our defense hasn't looked the greatest this season. And I think someone earlier mentioned under 21 minutes because we've kind of toyed with Antonoro a bit, and he's gotten the majority of our under 21 minutes. But I'd like to see Tier Walker come on, and maybe even Zach Roy, but He's got a lot more competition in his spot. But the Forge game, the last couple times we played Forge, it was kind of the Tristan Henry show. And not to make too many comparisons, but Kalongo is kind of, I mean, he's a young goalkeeper. He's doing quite well. We just played a young goalkeeper that's doing quite well. So we want to kind of test them. And I think we kind of have the firepower up front that's going to test them a lot. You know, we want Balu to be firing on all cylinders at home. We want Ruben Del Campo to continue his goal scoring form and maybe even get a little bit of substitute action off the bench from Sammy Salter. So continue to test Kalongo and the Forge defense. I mean, obviously you mentioned the attack is a little bit light, but the defense isn't looking great this season. So want to test Kalongo.
Some love for Sammy Salter. I'm really glad you brought up the U21 minutes, actually, because that is kind of where I wanted to steer the conversation next for a little bit. Salter was currently last in the league. It's early, but we're last at 161 U20 minutes played with Gabriel Antonoro getting about 90% of those. It's wild looking at the U21 list because Halifax, even though they're last in the league, they're second last in U21 minutes as well. So they're not even, they're not even getting those with these awful performances. So I think it's fair to say that Antonoro is going to be our main U21 minutes getter this season. But, rough math, we need about 85 U21 minutes per game the rest of the season. Isaac, I'm just curious if you think that's something we should be starting to worry about.
Not yet, but if it's still trending down this path, then yeah. In terms of who can give us this minutes, obviously Antonoro's been coming into his own a little bit, but we can't just solely rely on him to, you know, eat up all these minutes for us. Like
exactly, we can't run him into the ground like we did with Bahou two seasons ago.
Oh yeah, but someone mentioned wanting to see Tier Walker get into the game. I absolutely agree. You know, he's an Ottawa lad who's shown some promise. Obviously, he's still lacking that experience, but this is where he can get him. I mean, again, this isn't my area of expertise, so if someone else wants to hop in and educate me a little bit, then by all means, go for it.
I mean, I did want to, kind of put it out there, to the hot stove. Do people think that complimenting Antonero's minutes, do we think Zach Roy is going to be kind of the next go-to or Tier Walker? Or do we think at some point we're going to see a yet unnamed U21 ringer brought in, kind of Owen Antoniuk style? We got a few hands up. Let's go Craig next.
Yeah, I just don't think we can ride Antonoro the entire season like we did Bahus. That's just not good for his development and for the team, frankly. But like, I was really hoping we would play Tier Walker a little bit more, hopefully starting against Valor. Like, those are sort of the teams you should be taking advantage of with your young guys, at least start. And if they do have a bad 45 minutes, sub them off at halftime, put on the big boys, and then see the game out. But like, I don't know. I wasn't worried going into the season. I'm getting a little bit more concerned as the games go on and we're not racking up the minutes out. I think we should be. Unless we do bring in that ringer, then that would be awesome.
All right. Bryce, you're up.
First of all, I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to Cargo and to Fernando, and I'm going to assume that they have some kind of plan for how they're handling this, because this is something we did harp on early before last year, and they had it under control real early. So I know we only have a few options right now for U21 minutes. I don't know if the ringer, if that is going to be something that... Can you hear my kids? Is that really annoying?
A little bit. It's not annoying, though.
Okay, can you guys shut up for a bit? All right, so I think the U21, ringer coming in, I don't think that's something we have to worry about right now. I think that's something that can come in later if we're in trouble. Say, if Antonoro picks up an injury or something, I think that's when you go and start trying to find something else. We also don't have a lone player in that category right now. So that's 1,000 minutes on a loan that could come in. So maybe that's going to show up. But I think our best option is Tier Walker getting some solid minutes. I don't know if Singh is quite as strong as he was last year. We know that Tier Walker has looked good when he's played. So maybe at the beginning of the season when we're not getting all those U21 minutes, it's because we're trying to find a little, get that system on offense working and know that we have the goals to win games coming in. And then maybe we're going to work on that back line. But I think Tier Walker's the guy who's going to step up and get us some more minutes. I'd love to see Gabby start the next few games. I think he's capable of doing that. I think he's got a lot of gas in his tank. I think he could go a full 90 if he has to. But yeah, we need to start out these minutes quickly. But I do think that there's a plan for that. I just I'm not privy to know it.
I think I totally agree with you on that. We haven't missed the U21 goal yet. They have managed it, two seasons ago. They managed it perfectly, quite frankly. It had us worried until the very end, but they did get us there. So you're right, in that, I think that it's too early for us to get worried. I will say, I think, having a U21 player like Antonoro this season, he's been maybe my biggest surprise of 2024 is how ready for this he's been. Every time he's on the field, he is a spark plug. And he is not looking out of place one bit. Like, we are not playing him just for you 21 minutes. He is contributing. And that's been fantastic to see. I would like to see Tier Walker playing more. What I'm hoping is that what we're seeing, because we have seen him a little bit, is that he's just being slowly eased in, because he is still, you know, it's easy to forget, he's still so young. But he also has played well in his stints, you know, in those few minutes that he's played. So what I'm hoping is that, you know, they're easing him in. Obviously, I'm also not privy to the plan, but that's what I'm hoping for. Tubes, do you have any thoughts on this?
You know, I brought it up, so I'm gonna address it. It is only a quarter. I mean, this game will be the seventh, so it'll only be a quarter of the way into the season. But we mentioned that Ottawa have the lowest under 20 minutes in the league, but I think we're less than like 180 minutes, and probably just over a full 90 of those is Gabby Antonoro, and he's already contributed a goal and an assist. So talk about a ringer. We don't need one. We have Gabby Antonoro. Super happy with what he's been able to do. And yeah, there has been a little bit of a criticism labeled Luke Singh's way, but he doesn't have much competition. So if we can get Tier Walker in, and I kind of think back to that Pacific game last year when he did super well. Yeah, if there's a player who comes in and performs well in his position, then maybe we can get Luke Singh back to his last season form, because especially after last season and when we kind of announced the Tier Walker signing this season, I was like, okay, maybe we have our Diego Espejo replacement before Luke Singh came back. But yeah, I'm not too worried about under 20 minutes, but Gabby Antonoro is the man, and Tier Walker is definitely the next up.
Well, I think that's as good a time as any for a quick announcement break. Just a quick reminder, follow us on all our socials, Twitter, Instagram, Capital City SG. We have a brand new social media team who continue to make tons of great content. So make sure to follow our socials to keep up to date with all our news and enjoy the best that the social team has to offer.
Also, another reminder to become a CCSG member today. Remember, $20 gets you access to our members-only Discord, first access to road trips, exclusive merch, and more. And if you're a student, you're in luck because you get a $5 discount. Bring that down to $15. And if you are already a member, make sure to regularly check our members-only page on our website and our announcements channel in our Discord for the latest CCSG news.
Man, that Discord is where all the goodies are. And again, join us at the Glebe Central Pub for the pregame pints, chats, and watch parties. CCSG will be there for the 10 p.m. kick before every single match, so be sure to come by. The GCP is CCSG's home pub for the 2024 season, and we hope to see you there at every watch party. That's at Glebe Central Pub, 779 Bank Street. See you there. Now back to the show. Now let's start talking about the starting 11, Isaac. Ideally, I think fans would love this to be, you know, a statement game. We've mentioned that. Put our best foot forward. Leave no question who the top team in the league is at this moment. Who, in your opinion, are some players who absolutely must start this Saturday?
If we're talking about must start, I think there's definitely one player on my mind, certainly in the minds of others right now in the space, but obviously, it's a no-brainer that Ruben Del Campo should continue to start in that number nine role until he has proven that he shouldn't, which I don't see happening whatsoever. So, obviously, RDC should be starting at the number nine position. Other than that, I wouldn't say there's many people I would coin as must-starts. Obviously, Aparicio needs to be in there. Didic, those are no-brainers. Swardek as well, but I wouldn't say there's anyone else really that I'm like, this guy must start on Saturday.
I'm gonna throw Ballou's name in there as, you know, someone who must start. You know, I think he's someone who just needs to get more playing time, just to kind of play himself to play himself back into form, and even not, you know, scoring at the rate that we want him to, he draws attention, he draws players away, and makes space for others, right? I also wanted to ask who on the team has been, you know, we mentioned Ed Noro, who's been a pleasant surprise on the squad for you so far?
Obviously, well, Del Campo coming in his own wasn't really a surprise for me. It was more of like a thing like that a lot of others have been saying. That's like, oh, once he gets his first, like, watch out, which, as you know, that was absolutely correct. But there's one player who I've absolutely adored. It's Chris Twardek. I just love his aggressiveness, even though he's kind of been racking up those yellows. But just his experience and his maturity shows on the pitch. He's very, not relaxed, but he's just very aware. And again, he's just a class player that you don't just see every day in the CPL.
Absolutely. Like, I've been watching Chris Twardek clips, you know, just being aware of as many Ottawa born bred players as you know, as possible. Chris obviously comes up on the timeline a lot, and you know, watching his clips from his time playing in Ireland, like, he is he was beloved by, you know, his fans over there. But it's hard to know kind of like how would a game, you know, how would his game there translate to the CPL? And he is just like, he's a star in the league right away. I had no idea how fast he was. Like, when you're in the stands watching him, he's got blistering pace. It's unbelievable. We've got one hand up from Craig. Craig, what's up?
I just want to say, damn it, Isaac, you stole all my thunder of what I wanted to talk about how Manny Aparicio and Didich should be nonstop in the starting 11. And then also Chris Twardek and Del Campo, they have been the best surprises this year. Like, I can't agree more with you there. Like, Twardek is just absolute class. The way he's able to defend players, I'm not a huge fan of the yellow cards that he's accumulated. Might also be bad reffing, but anywho, he's just fast. He makes crosses into the box. Like, he's a quality right back. Like, I love having him on the pitch. And yeah, I don't know. I love the team that they've been able to assemble so far, and hopefully they can keep it rolling. And Del Campo, he sure didn't score last year, but man, is he on a roll right now.
Tubes, you're up next.
You know, I am the biggest Sammy Salter fan, but man, Del Campo is doing something to me. But the one name that I'm going to put forward that I don't think a lot of other people are going to suggest is I want to see Maxim Tiso start. I think he was great in that game against Pacific. And I think him starting means Debrien pushes up forward. And I think he's a lot better in that left wing spot, because we don't really have that true out-and-out left midfielder, especially while Balu's out on the right and KDS is injured. So I want to see Debrien pushing up forward more so. And then, yeah, I'd love to see Tiso again. I love that dude. And especially coming against his former club, I think he'll be fired up.
Love the Tiso share. I actually completely agree with that. I think I think what we've seen from Tiso to start this year has been the best that we've seen from him. I think he's been composed, and I think he's had a really strong maturing influence on the rest of the squad. You know, one thing that I keep thinking about watching this team play is I don't feel as worried at any point during a game. Like, if on Saturday against Forge, if we go down 1-0, I'm not going to feel as concerned as I as I would have last season. I think Tiso has played a pretty big role in that. My next question, actually, in my show notes, I phrase it as who's disappointed this season so far, but I'm going to rephrase that. Who, and I'll point this to you, Isaac, first, who on this squad are you kind of hoping to see a bit more from going forward?
I would have to say Luke Singh. I mean, I feel like everyone else has been saying that, but with him especially, I think we're just expecting more from him, because he's shown glimpses. Like, we had him last year. He's shown glimpses then, even shows glimpses now. But I think more than ever, when we're on a roll, we just need that little extra oomph. Is that what we're looking for from Luke Singh? Other than that, like, I didn't come on here to bash players. I mean, I'm just happy with the way everything's going with the team right now. You know, top of the table. They're not giving me reasons to start bashing players. So,
well, that's just it. You know, we're so well, you know. You know, it's hard not to just, you know, give glowing reviews to so many players. You know, you start looking for things to nitpick on just to kind of get that other side. Bryce, what's up?
Well, I was going to say, on the Luke Singh thing, it's not that he doesn't look good. It's that we can only really count on Luke Singh to have one really bad play per game. And when it happens, right on that back line, it just exposes us in a dastardly way. So Luke Singh is a solid player, but he's not a solid 90-minute player at the moment. What I would like to see improve is for him to, if he starts, be able to put in a full 90 without making those mistakes. But otherwise, I want to see Tier Walker.
That would be really interesting to see Tier Walker in place of Luke Singh. I think Luke Singh is probably the the designated go-to starter in that position. And I think rightfully so. I think he is a stronger option. But I would like to see Tier Walker just to, you know, get a start here and there, just to see how he'd handle a half. Okay, Isaac, I think we're going to move on. Forge currently sits fourth in the CPL table, albeit with a game in hand on most teams. They're arguably the most well-organized team in the league with a pretty well-defined identity. Pacific, we know, has had a strong start. And Vancouver is certainly turning heads right now, sitting third. Cavalry is off to a rough start, sitting sixth, but I think we all accept that. We all expect them to, you know, they should heat up as the season goes on. With all that in mind, do you see Atletico and Forge as the top two teams by season's end?
I can definitely see that. I mean, Forge is kind of one of those teams where they start their season well. They're still in it very well. Then they just go on an absolute heater and start putting up dubs. So, I mean, this is a team that hasn't won the league in terms of regular season, but that hasn't stopped them from winning trophies. So I can definitely see a scenario where we're the top two teams by season's end. It's just a matter of fact of if we keep up this play and stay in form and Forge gets back in that peak Forge form that we all have come to know and not love.
I mean, you know, in a league with playoffs, I think, you know, they're kind of built for playoffs, you know. Tubes or Craig, do you have anything on your mind about this one? Nope. Okay.
Obviously, history is on the side of Forge for like cup competitions and everything, but I don't know. I feel like our team's assembled for the long haul. Like, they're trying to assemble something special. They want to bring home a trophy or two, possibly three, to like TD place, especially the gap that the CPL has seemingly closed between the MLS right now. Just Calvary beating Whitecaps, Forge obviously doing quite well against Montreal. Like, I'm hoping to see us get a really good result against one of the MLS teams in the Canadian Championship like this week or in the next stage if we get past Pacific. But like, it's just really good to see like Canada soccer as a whole move forward and actually start being more competitive. And like, I don't know, I just love to see more fans in the stands though. That's my only complaint. Where is everybody?
Well, with good weather, hopefully we should see some better crowds coming up. It sounds like the north side stands are going to be open, so hopefully we'll see something kind of in the 5,000 north of that range. I think we are coming up on the end of the show at this point. I'm going to throw it out to... Oh, actually, sorry. Isaac.
Yeah, just wanted to touch up quickly on what Craig was saying. I'm absolutely with you there, buddy. Just remembering those Ottawa Fury TFC grudge matches in the Canadian Championship. even when we played Vancouver, those were just awesome games to be at growing up. So, I mean, I'm hoping we can get something similar to that if we do the thing in Victoria next week. I hope we do. And yeah, Canada soccer in terms of domestic league, we're on the rise in terms of skill, especially with what Forge is doing at the moment. So, yeah.
All right. Well, I think we're coming up on the end of the show at this point. So to wrap it all up, I want to open it up to everyone on the Hot Stove who's open to chatting. Let's get some score predictions and which players you're all most excited to see on the pitch on Saturday. Isaac, let's start with you.
Okay, I'm going to say it's going to be 3-2 at Letty. And players I'm looking forward to seeing, I'm going to go with Holly Bassett.
Beautiful. Bryce, you got any predictions for us?
Yeah, I think it's going to be 2-1 Ottawa. I think Mateo's going to get one. You know, he's going to play a little bit better because he's going to be a little bit older. And then I'm going to go way out into the far out predictions. And even though he's only scored two goals since 2017, Alberto Zapatero is going to get another one. He's going to have three goals on the year this Saturday. So, but 2-1.
Oh, I like that. Sure. I like that. Tubes, you got a prediction for us?
I'm going 1-1, but I'm excited to see Ruben Del Campo again.
And Craig, maybe bring us home here.
I'm going to go with 2-2, but Ollie and Del Campo are going to score.
Oh, I like it. And you know what? I'm going to throw one in. I'm going to say 2-1, and I'm going to say Tabla scores. And I like that Zapator show. I'm going to say Tabla and Zapator score. Isaac, your hand's still up. Got one more addition?
Oh, no. Didn't have my hand up.
Okay, all good. All right, we're going to wrap it up there. Follow us on all our socials at Capital City SG. A lot of news and content is dropping like all the time, and you don't want to miss a beat.
If you're not a member yet, become one by visiting CapitalCitySupports.com. 20 for the year, 15 if you're a student. That'll get you access to member-exclusive events, merch, road trips, Discord, and you'll find out news first. And another reminder, if you're a member, to regularly check our membership page and our announcement channel on our Discord for the latest CCSD news.
And while you're on the website, be sure to check out the latest from our writers team. We have the Forward Press, summarizing all pre- and post-game pressers, match day in review for those days you want to relive, and of course, our weekly player ratings so that you can see how each player did on the day. And of course, check out the ATO podcast. The best way to spend your usually Tuesday mornings is by listening to our beloved hosts break down the past week's Atletico Ottawa game. Check out their latest episode covering Pacific, the Pacific match on your favorite podcast platforms.
And GCP is your home for pre- and post-game drinks. After a day of football, join us at 779 Bank Street to continue these conversations. That's at Glebe Central Pub, CCSG's home pub for the 2024 season and Ottawa's Temple of Football.
Also be on the lookout for episodes of CCSG's latest show, my favorite new show, Full Time, which is available on our YouTube channel, chronicling the reactions of ATO fans and some fans of other teams after every home match. Join Harry to share your thoughts. You could be on the show after the game Saturday under the Jumbotron.
That wraps it up. Thank you for listening and joining in on the conversation today. We hope to hear from you again next week. Josh, send us off.
Isaac, thanks so much for joining. Vamos a Letty, baby. Bubble, 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 bubble